On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
What's up, everybody? JP Finley here. Latest episode of Redskins Talk the Podcast coming your way. I'm here with Rich Tandler, as usual.
Hello.
All right, so we're doing a simulcast podcast and Facebook Live. Tandler, let's start with what everybody wants to know about Kirk Cousins.
Okay. What do they want to know about him?
Not his shoe size. They want to know, is he coming back?
Oh, he's coming back.
Is he coming back?
One way or another, he's coming back.
Franchise deal or not?
I'm starting to move towards a better possibility. Maybe it's not a probability yet. A better possibility of a contract getting done before that March 1st franchise tag deadline.
Whoa. You're saying a long-term deal in the next month?
Hey, yes.
What leads you to believe that?
Just some things I've been hearing, not necessarily hanging around Redskins Park, but just listening to some people who know that the Redskins they know they have to get it done. And they're going to try to drive a hard bargain and bang the price down as much as they can. But in the end, they're going to have to go with whatever the best deal they can get is.
Wow. So I think they'll get a deal done, but I don't think it's happening. I think they still will franchise him and then have to go into the summer.
There's no incentive then. There's no incentive for him to get the deal done. He'll play for the $24 million, and that, I think it's not impossible for it to get done by July 15th if they do franchise tag him. I think the chances go down dramatically.
All right, so give me a percentage then. What are the odds? You're saying long term deal with Kirk
Before the end of February. I would say I'll give it a 40% chance. 35 or 40% chance.
That's high.
It is high.
I mean, it's high to me anyway. I don't know that I would go that high. I think they get a deal done with Kirk. And you've got a good point about the incentive funnels off the closer they get to the deadline.
It drops off a cliff.
Because he's fans don't get is $24 million guaranteed for one season is probably somewhere between 30 to 40% of what the guaranteed money's going to be over the life of the contract.
I'll tell you what, he ain't spent much of that $20 million.
Right, he's still driving the van.
Yes.
Literally, we still see the van at Redskins Park.
The grandma's
van. But all right. So, what does the big deal look like then?
I think the Redskins want to spend about $20 million per year. We'll get to the details in a second. $20 million per year. I think Cousins camp is going to shoot for 24 to 25
a year.
So a million.
Yeah,
not thousand. Put that in there,
right?
Throwing around these numbers, and so I think it'll be somewhere in the middle, maybe closer to what Cousins would like. So let's say $23 million, 5 years, $5 million, $115 million with
guarantees the number that matters.
Right. I would say, without putting this on paper, I haven't really, really figured this out yet, but I'll say 50 fully guaranteed at signing with another 20. The number that gets put out will probably be like 70 guaranteed.
And when can they get out of this deal for the first time? 3 years in?
After 3 years. After three full years, I think they could do it. But it'll still be an ouch.
Yeah,
it'll
sure.
It'll still be year four will hurt. Maybe going into year five, I think maybe is the first time they can really get out of it without taking some pain.
Wow, look at you getting bullish.
You
and I talk and text and Slack enough that I knew you were inching that direction, but I didn't know you were 40% you're almost at coin flip territory.
Yeah.
So we both agree Kirk will be the quarterback in 2017.
Yes. I think the trade scenario since that's out there, it's possible. It just doesn't seem really realistic. I don't know, I know San Francisco is not giving up the number two overall pick. I don't see that happening. If there would be a deal with San Francisco, it might be for two this year, a two next year, maybe a three next year, something like that. Something where Redskins fans are going to go, is that all we got?
Because right.
You only got it for 1 year and you're paying him a lot of money.
I mean, I kind of think the era of getting three, arguably four, first-round picks ended with the Robert Griffin trade.
Yes.
Unless there's...
Actually, it ended before that. Nobody sent the memo to the Redskins.
Well, you never know. If there's another Eli Manning or there's another sure thing quarterback kid coming out of, Arizona or wherever this kid might come from, and he's like, "Well, I'm not playing for Cleveland." Yeah, I mean, there's still a scenario where that could unfold,
right?
But I think folks realize the value of draft picks at a much higher rate now
than before. And it's like I said,
well, and that was the other thing with the San Francisco conversation. Kyle was a part of the staff that traded for RG3. Now, depending what revisionist history you buy into, Kyle never wanted that trade to happen. But still, he was there. He saw it happen firsthand.
Well, and his father could have prevented it as much as he might like to deny that.
Right. I mean, there's a school of thought for both these things. But
now that's not a school of thought. That's a contractual fact.
Yeah. I mean, he's going down with the ship then if he prevents that.
Okay. And then he would have gotten paid $21 million to do nothing for 3 years. But
Tandler is such a hardo sometimes. He wasn't going to stand up to Dan if it was really Dan doing it.
Well, that's what he was paid for. He was getting paid $7 million a year precisely to stand up to Dan and Bruce, precisely for that reason.
He signed before Bruce came, right? Bruce hired
Bruce
Chaney?
Was already here. Well, he didn't really hire him. I mean, it was set up before. Bruce came along about with two, three weeks left in the 2009 season, then got there. Zorn was fired.
Oh, right.
They already knew. It was already prearranged what was going to happen.
You know it was not prearranged?
What?
The promotion of Greg Minuski to defensive coordinator.
No.
What number choice do you think Minuski was?
About the fourth. Third or fourth.
I got him at three. Who's above him? I think we both are saying Wade.
I don't know. I don't know if Wade was necessarily in there. Was he really a choice? That's why I have him at three or four.
So if you don't include Wade, who do you have above?
Minuski? I had who else?
Wilkes?
No.
I got Gus and Wade.
Oh, no. I'm the Cincinnati coordinator.
Gunther. Okay.
Gunther.
Who they never got to talk to.
Right.
Okay. All right. Before we start arguing with one another, let's rip through some
questions.
Let's
argue over reader questions.
Right. All right. Damian Jaggers says, what's up? What's up, Damian? Say hi. I'm getting a lot of questions, Deshaun or Pierre. Deshaun Jackson is not going to be back with the Redskins. I'm not reporting that. No one is telling me that officially that I can report. But I'm telling you, Deshaun's not coming back to the Redskins.
Yeah, it's not a question of if they could do it. They could do it. They have enough cap room to bring back both players. They're both going to get probably about $8 or $9 million a year.
I think Deshaun gets a little more. I think Deshaun gets 12.
You think? Oh no, I don't think he gets that much.
Name value matters in the NFL, and being a home run threat matters. And the deal Tavon Austin got. Now, the hard part for Deshaun is that he's older, and you can call it injury history, or sometimes
you can call it
doesn't practice, misses practice time, whatever you want to say there.
He's a spectator a little.
He spectates at times. I will bet you Deshaun makes more money than Pierre in this next contract.
Yeah, but I don't think he's going to make 12. I think his ceiling is about 8 and 10. I think it's 8 and 9. Okay. But whatever. Yeah. What's $1 million between friends?
Right.
But anyway, but it's no sure. Pierre being back is no sure thing either.
That's, dude, I started saying that in October, and people were like, thought I was crazy, thought I had two heads. I mean, it's entirely possible the Redskins have neither. I mean, that's 2,000 yards of your offense gone, by the way. So you can say you want Kirk back, and Kirk's a great quarterback, but it's going to be really interesting to see when it's Crowder, Doxson, person X. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you couldn't really draft somebody for that
Kevin
third
Raff,
spot.
Just for you.
You'd have to sign a free agent. You'd have to. There's nobody, you know, the draft, you can't even if they spend another first rounder on a wide receiver.
Did you see the one mock that has
Yes, there have been a couple. The one I saw was
and I referenced this, I wrote something kind of putting together, I think, an honest collection of eight guys that really make sense at 17. And one of them, Bucky Brooks from NFL Network, has the Skins taking John Ross from the Washington Huskies, who's a receiver. And I know people are going to flip out at that. He's really good, and he's super fast and crazy athletic. But I don't know.
Okay, well, but before you really say that definitively, even though I kind of just said it definitively also, what are they doing in free agency? Look at what they do in free agency. And then, will be done before the draft. Their line pretty well set. You know, I think the ideal way to do things, and I don't know if McLuhan necessarily does, I know Joe Gibbs talked about doing this, is fill your needs in free agency.
You're out, right? Oh, okay.
Well, figure your need, right. And you know, plus if there's guys you can move up, move over, you know, move Cravens to safety, okay, that hopefully fills that need. But fill your needs in free agency and draft best available, and draft best available.
Yeah. Well, I think and so much of what they'll do in the draft will be determined by what happens over the next 6 weeks, first 2 weeks of free agency, when you really kind of – did you see the report I wrote about from a Philly paper, maybe NewJersey.com, about Benny Logan?
Yeah, I actually had written in a need to know about a week or two ago about Logan. I listed five possible free agents.
He makes
sense.
He was
one of the guys
who
was a fit.
And it's because Bruce and Scott don't want to spend top dollar. They don't want to go out there and compete for the guys that's going to command a huge deal.
Don't look for more Josh Norman.
Josh Norman notwithstanding. I mean, that was a unique situation where you're getting – they didn't have that many people to compete with at that stage of the market because Norman's contract situation unfolded so oddly, I think is a fair way.
Unprecedented, perhaps.
Sure. Benny Logan makes sense because he's young. He'll be 27. He's – An actual nose tackle in a 3-4 defense?
Wow.
Yeah. What a novel concept. And he won't break the bank. He's been productive.
Right. Productive, but he won't break the bank.
Right. And I think that's because how much better could this defensive line be if you sign a true nose tackle who now he's missed 5 games the last 2 years, which isn't a lot, but it's not a little either. I mean, he's pretty dependable, but not all the way dependable. Maybe you use a third or fourth round pick. This kid, Montrevious Adams from Auburn,
right,
that I watched at the Senior Bowl and I interviewed him. I mean, he looks like a kind of guy that's going to help an NFL defense for 7-8 years. He's huge. He works hard. Just positive attitude. And so if you get that kind of reinforcements in the middle, maybe your first round pick, do you have a crush on anybody yet?
I like Michigan State kid.
So I liked him, and then I talked to various folks in Mobile, and I didn't
What's his name again?
Malik McDowell.
Malik McDowell, thank you.
I like that his last name is McDowell because it reminds me of McDowell's from Coming to America.
Yes.
They got the Big Mac. We got the Big Mac. Yeah. That's kind of a random aside. But there are questions about why they didn't get the same level of play his junior season as they did his sophomore season. And for me, with college kids, that level of play needs to be the same or going up and not going the opposite way. Now, he did have to deal with an ankle injury, I think. But I've been looking at the stats. Have you looked at this kid? I hope I'm getting your name right. They call him Tack, but it's Tackerist McKinley.
Big T.
We'll call him Tack. Just like Dak, but Tack. Tackerist McKinley from UCLA.
I have not seen the film on him, no. The name has crossed my...
So, Jonathan Allen, Alabama, obviously had a wildly impressive season. Jonathan Allen, I'm going to pull the stats up just so I don't mess them up. He had, this season, his senior season, 16 tackles for loss, 10.5 sacks. This kid, Tackerist McKinley.
Now he's an inside backer, Allen.
I mean, he's a D lineman to me, but they've moved him around a bit. I think he played linebacker as a freshman.
Okay.
He's been on the D line. I mean, the size, he's 6'3", 290. I mean, he's a D lineman. Yes. All right. And that's 4 years at Alabama, which is maybe an NFL defense. This kid, Tack McKinley, in 3 years at UCLA, in his third year, had 18 tackles for loss and 10 sacks. And that's going against better offenses in the Pac-12 than there are in the SEC.
Yeah, well, this past couple of years.
Right, and I just think he's leaner than Allen. And these guys are both sculpted, but... I'm really curious to see this McKinley kid at the combine. I think he's going to turn heads. And if he's there at 17, seems like an interior guy that can also get to the quarterback that can, if it breaks right, and you never know, but that's who I'm liking early.
Other D lineman I like in the first, Solomon Thomas, Stanford.
I like him. I like him a lot. I was more into Malik McDowell until I talked to a bunch of people in Mobile, and the word was not negative. It wasn't – nobody said, don't take this guy.
Kind of wondering, though.
But there was a lot of like, huh. And Mel Kiper, I think, said it. I will never pretend to know more about the draft than Mel Kiper, right? And Mel Kiper said he's a top five, top 10 talent, but you're just not sure. So maybe at 17 you get that – you get that guy playing all the way, and it's a huge steal.
Is that a guy that McLuhan's going to like?
Yeah, it's a big question. And Bruce
Thomas does have a high motor. That is one thing that's been said about him. He plays hard every play.
Well, and you realize that kid Solomon Thomas. So to me, it's not a surprise to lead a team in both tackles for loss and sacks. Especially on the college level, because it shows you're disrupting plays, you're right, getting in the backfield.
Yeah.
He also led Stanford in tackles. So tackles for loss and sacks is, all right, this is a disruptor, right. He's beating offensive linemen. But just tackles.
So usually that's a safety or an inside linebacker.
Yeah, which maybe the Stanford defense kind of sucked. And that's why a D-tackle's getting all your... But I think he plays a little more off the edge as well, whereas these other guys, Thomas, I'm saying.
Yeah, he's going to get more pass rush.
Right, whereas I think McKinley and certainly Malik McDowell are more interior guys. And, right. And I think – I know that a lot – you can never have too many pass rushers, but I think if they could have an interior presence that can help with the run more is of more value to the Skins. All right, there's a deep dive on 17. Right. I know a lot of folks were asking about that. I'm going to try to get to a question – Mike Holmes wants to know, what's up? What's up, Mike? How will Cravens play at safety? Are you ready for Cravens at safety?
Yeah. I think, I had a question on Twitter this morning about, some draft analyst didn't think he'd be a full-time safety. I think you can kind of scheme around the fact that he's not all that fast. You're not going to put him on a wide receiver necessarily, anybody that's fast, he's not going to be doing the deep middle. I think that this kind of the idea If he's one of your safeties that's in there, you know, 80, 90, 100% of the snaps, you're not, this interchangeable safeties concept is not.
I think that concept might have to go away anyway.
Yes.
I mean, I think if you had interchangeable safeties, how the heck did you have Dante Whitner on the field? Because he was in no way capable of playing the free.
No, he was not.
One quick caveat to my McKinley lean right now. I think Malik Hooker is the absolute best fit for the Skins, but I think there's no chance he's there at 17.
He's a 5 to 10.
I agree. Guy. But Kuiper had him to the Skins at 17.
I know, which, I don't know, is his whole draft is locked up, so I didn't see who went before
him.
Yeah,
if any of our bosses are listening, can we get an ESPN login, please?
Yeah.
Hello, bosses, if you're listening.
They don't want us.
They certainly not watching. Yeah. Maybe every once in a while they listen.
They listen to the podcast. Okay.
Because so actually, we got some big podcast news coming. Did you see that email?
No.
Big podcast news coming. Maybe a week from now. Maybe 2 weeks from now. But nothing will change in
got this news.
Maybe you don't. I'll tell you when we conclude.
Okay.
A lot of folks want to know about the run game. And I know that you are not Robert Kelly's biggest fan.
No. I like Robert Kelly, but I'm not his biggest fan. No, I don't think he should be your A1 top running back.
Yeah, that's fair. I think he can prove – I think at times he flashed that he can do it. And then I think he was playing hurt late in the year.
Okay, so he played half the season and he was hurt. I think if you go into the season with the plan being he's your guy for 16 games, I'm not sure that's great. The guy had 100-yard game.
Are we going to do this for like the 50th time?
No, I'm trying to explain why I don't think he's your prime back for 16 games. And in that 100-yard game,
what are they going to do with Matt Jones?
I mean, they'll keep him around. I don't know if they'll keep him on the roster, but he'll be around for training camp and stuff. They could end up letting him go. Decide he's a better.
I mean, he's a third round pick
than Mac Brown. Well, yeah, so they keep him around. You know, if he has to, if he's a third round, but you know, he's a third round pick from 2 years. You know, it will be.
Yeah,
you know, it's 2 years ago now. We're coming up on 3 years ago. So, you know, if he doesn't, you know, I see that's one thing Scott has made. His share of mistakes, but he is not afraid to move on.
Did you see I think Steinberg tweeted it out, but it was somebody else's research. Like, it was maybe Bill Barnwell. It was probably like a Pro Football Focus. I don't know where the stat came from. But the Skins were second or third to the bottom in the NFL in rookie snaps this year.
Yep.
And it didn't surprise – I mean, yeah. Let's say you got 25 snaps out of Doxson, something like that.
Yeah.
Cravens missed four games.
Was just shy of, he was just shy of 300 snaps, which surprised me. He was that low, but yeah, but he missed a lot of games,
and he wasn't playing much early. Kendall Fuller missed games, and then had a chunk where he was playing a lot, and then wasn't playing a lot at the end of the year. Ioannidis had some inactives.
Kelly played, I want to say 400 snap, 396.
But I'm just thinking other draft picks. Nate Sudfeld didn't take a snap.
No.
The Georgia running back. Nobody's talked about him in a while. Remember how excited people
were? Ooh, yeah.
Keith Marshall?
Yes. Thank you.
Sadly, a guy that's been hurt every year for 4 years, it's hard to think he's not going to be hurt again. Like, is he going to be in Richmond? Are we going to have to be on Keith Marshall watch?
I'm not going to be on watch. He'll be there.
He was fast, man.
The roadside of the NFL is littered with the bodies of fast running backs who just can't be running backs. Just like Rashad Ross is a fast wide receiver, a fast guy who can't really be a wide receiver.
Man, Ross could play a little bit. He could run routes. He did. Okay. I don't think he got along. I don't know what was going on there. Because I think there were opportunities where he would give you more than others that saw the field.
Cough, Ryan Grant. Cough.
Nah, man. Me and Ryan Grant became cool when he came on the podcast. Hopefully everybody listened to that. So I don't think Fournette drops to 17, but if Dalvin Cook is there at 17.
You got to think about it. I don't think you'd do it. But, you know, I mean, there was plenty of talk that if the Redskins had traded back in 2015, that they would have taken Todd Gurley if he'd traded back to 10, 12, 14 and Gurley was still there.
Man, Gurley would help this team. Although, I don't know. It's hard to judge that Rams offense. We'll have a better idea next year. Somebody on Facebook wrote Trung candidate. Talk about a guy that had speed.
Right, exactly. And where's his body? By the roadside.
Weirdly, some folks are asking, do they need to make a change at center? And I say no. Spencer was playing really well. He got pretty banged up later in the year as well. But I think Spencer Long is your center. I know you just did the interior O-line review. I don't see much changing on that O-line. Maybe LaVal.
See, I don't think LaVal. So who starts if LaVal's not there?
I'm saying I don't think I see much changing on that O-line.
No, not.
Contract situation that dictates something needs to change.
They're all under contract. You know, LaVal's cap number is $5 million, which, you know, it's a little highish, but, you know, people need $168 million, probably actually end up being $170 million cap. I mean, that's not.
It's a lot of
dough. It's not a drop in the bucket, but it's not, you know, it's not going to create you any problems.
All right. We have gone long here. Give us one thought as to why you think Kirk gets his deal done.
Because I think the Redskins know they have to get it done. That's the main thing. I think they're kind of out of this fantasy of thinking that they can either get Nate Sudfeld or get through the year with McCoy. I'm guessing, strictly guessing, speculating that Jay Gruden has kind of talked them off of that ledge.
I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt. Bruce Allen, Redskins team president, was cool enough to talk to me in Mobile, and he said point blank, a long-term deal is our goal. Kirk knows that, and that's what we're working towards. And it didn't strike me as posturing. It didn't strike me as publicly negotiating. It sounded like he was telling the truth, and that's their plan. So I don't know that it happens.
Well, why not? If they can't, 5 weeks is not
just
a long
just
time.
Just because it's such a deadline league. And as of last Thursday, when I talked to Bruce, they hadn't even started talking yet.
Okay, but that doesn't take. They both have talked.
They both have a framework.
They have to get right. Have to have a getting to know you meeting or anything like that.
True.
That was Bruce's
best line. I asked him about the new coordinators. He's like, "Well, I didn't have to really get to know them."
That's true.
I thought that was pretty funny.
They just chant. What if they got the new? Yeah, they probably moved into a bigger office. I would think.
I'm sure. I don't know. So if you walk into Redskins Park, all the coaches are back and to the left. I don't know. I imagine it's you get bigger and better.
No, I would think so.
Yeah. Not like our cubbies at Redskins Park. No. Our little desks.
No, you kind of have to fight for your space there.
I'm in the process of trying to acquire more leg room at the park. Because I get boxed in that corner, man. I hate it.
Yeah. I don't know what can be done about it, though. I don't know. Tarek got by with it, so I have restless leg syndrome,
man. Give me a break. All right. Tandler, say goodbye to the podcast.
Bye, podcast. Hey, thanks for tuning in.
Podcasters, listen, download, tell your friends. We're going to have some news in like a week or two, like I said. And I am very hopeful we have something very cool to announce maybe within a month for the podcast. So thank you guys very much.
I owe you a beer.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.